Hey, welcome to our multiverse. We're excited you're joining us for our new parody comedy series, Superhero Diaries.
Hello, this is Batman. Well, sort of. I mean, I'm not one of those actors who gets to play all your favorite superheroes in movies and TV. I guess you would say I'm a parody version of The Dark Knight. Anywho, me and some of my super friends have decided to tell you what we're really thinking when we are doing all those crime-fighting, Earth-saving, multiverse-hopping kind of stuff. We will reveal what's behind the mask. Our most private thoughts. Like, who's our secret superhero crush?
Gotta go. Girl talk.
We have to deal with real-life issues just like you. I mean, how does Spider-Man pee when he's wearing his Spidey onesie?
It rides up in the crotch a little bit, too.
Does Aquaman talk to fish before he eats them? What is the Hulk's critical review of Wonder Woman 84? And most confounding of all,
some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
How does a guy like me, with no superpowers, get through the week without getting killed every other day? All will be revealed when Superhero Diaries takes off on February 9th. Subscribe now, true believers!
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
The villa is quiet as waves crashing the shore meets the tweeting of songbirds. Dusk has fallen, and the small town is saying its collective good nights. The masked hero Zorro uses this time to break into the office of the mayor, attempting to find the missing piece of evidence to tie him to corruption so he may be exposed to the public as the charlatan he is. It is then that the door to the office flies open and U.S. agent John Walker bursts forward, shield in hand. "What you're doing here is against American interests, pal. So we have a problem." Zorro lets out a sigh. "If we must fight, we must fight," he proclaims as he readies his sword and prepares for a duel. It's Super Patriot versus Spanish Nobleman. It's Jack Daniels versus Don Diego de la Vega. It's U.S. Agent versus Zorro today on Who Would Win?
And welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comic book, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gadsby, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Ray Cicanus. You know, today's matchup is sort of, what's the right term, out of the box. After last week's mega matchup of Luke Skywalker versus Harry Potter, the Who Would Win production team decided to go in a slightly different direction for this week's battle. In one corner, you have the MCU's latest character of significance, Captain America's one-time replacement. I'm talking, of course, of John Walker, a.k.a. the U.S. agent, versus a hero that doesn't get enough recognition, at least in my opinion, Zorro. So, of course, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test, and this matchup has been discussed. Never. It's actually never been discussed. No, never. This is, no one has ever, I'm serious, we may be the first people in the history of the universe, possibly the multiverse or the omniverse, whatever's bigger, to have ever talked about this iconic matchup. Ray, what are your thoughts on today's matchup?
I absolutely love today's matchup. Look, you knew with Falcon and the Winter Soldier ending, featuring U.S. Agent John Walker, he was going to make his way onto the show. I do want to put everybody at ease right now at home, though. We are not going to spoil Falcon and the Winter Soldier at all, because
not gonna do it.
No, because we're gonna be say right now, where I'm using the comic book version, I'm staying away from spoilers from that show, so you can listen to this safely, maybe learn a little bit something about John Walker and go from there. And then Zorro, Zorro, I'm gonna interrupt you right there, because you don't get me started about Zorro. Zorro's been on my short list of characters to use for about 2 years now. I've been wanting to find a way to pull Zorro into a match, and there's an anime character named Z-O-R-O who people keep suggesting, who I keep misreading as Zorro, so I get very excited and up, and I say, ooh, are you referring to the masked Spaniard? And it turns out they are not. They're referring to some anime character I've never heard of. So instead, I'm going to go ahead and say I helped get Zorro into this match, and I'm very, very excited about it.
Yeah, you're referencing Zolo from One Piece and Monkey D. Luffy
theme. If you say so, James, I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. We only mentioned him a few times when we did Monkey D. Luffy versus Popeye at the beginning of the season. But, you know, whatever. It's okay. Some people like anime. Some people like the Detroit Lions. And I'm not judging anyone for what they do with their life decisions.
I don't believe you for a second.
You know, here's the thing, Ray. You know, let me kind of change course. We've been hit. We always get hit with a lot of questions from our fans. And because we're like, you know, a geek culture show, one of the main questions we get, and this is kind of interesting, is what are the main three superpowers? If you could choose any superpowers you want in the world, what would be the top three that you would choose? I know what I would go with, Ray. What are your top three superpowers?
I don't care about that, James, so I'm going to talk about something else. We have a fan who wrote on the Facebook page for who would win. Donald Let's Go Lakers Henderson. And I just want to say, first off, shout out to Donald. You are the man from Philadelphia, a very, very proud and beautiful town. I've been through there many times. I've been to a comedy club in Philadelphia. It is an absolutely great, great city to visit and be a part of. But this post really caught my attention. He says, is it like a running inside joke I'm missing for Ray Stakanis to keep losing battles? He's clearly won. I know it's subjective, but being a former captain of the debate team in high school, there's some egregious decisions being made. I'm not speaking on which character is better or who would win based on my opinion. I'm going off the parameters set by the debate to determine an outcome, and it seems to be jovial or something, like it's a recurring prank, maybe. Maybe I'm overthinking it, but one example is the Carnage decision that made me pull my hair out. Ray clearly posited the most viable outcome and still somehow was granted the L and not the W. Make it make sense. Not angry at you, James Gavsey. Well, first off, be angry at James Gavsey. That's outrageous. You guys sit here at home. The people, I say, people are enraged when Ray loses battles. People can't handle me absolutely dominating James and him getting wriggling off the hook like a piece of a worm on a Sunday morning in Utah. What I'm trying to say is, James, Sunday that's morning. How I see you. A piece
Why
of a worm.
Utah? Why Utah? No, here's
a
the thing.
A lot of lakes. A lot of lakes in Utah.
That's fair. So I actually, you know, interacted with Donald on Facebook for this post, and I asked him a simple question. I said, hey, how familiar are you with Invincible, you know, now that the animated series? And Don, you know, being a very honorable person, said, you know, I actually was not that familiar with Invincible before the Invincible versus Carnage Who Would Win match. Now I kind of see it. I'm understanding where you're coming from. Great guy. Ray, here is the thing. You know, I have done nothing except try to rep these characters as well as possible. You come back, I almost feel like you feel there's some type of conspiracy theory against you. You got to remember, for our audience at home, I have not yet gotten the ultimate objective of Who Would Win, which is 4 wins in a row. I came close earlier this season. Mm-hmm. I had 3. Then I lost the 4th. Well played, Ray. Well, here I am again with 3 wins. I'm going for that 4th win. You better believe I'm bringing everything to the table for this. Unfortunately, Ray, you've actually already won 4 in a row. My hat is off to you for that. What does that feel like, by the way, winning 4 in a row?
It's really the greatest feeling in the entire world. And I'm going to push back at your earlier statement, James, because it's not a conspiracy if they are actually all out to get you. That's just sanity. It is sanity to think that me getting screwed happens a lot in this show. The people have noticed.
Yes, yes. Don came to your defense and then... Yeah, that was about it. You know, you've got some wild and crazy thoughts, Ray. I'm not going to deny that. And let's just see how today's matchup goes. Speaking of Wild and Crazy, it's time to introduce our guest judge, making their first appearance on the Who Would Win show. It's the director of Bloodsucking Bastards, now available on Amazon Prime. It's the voice of Giantic from Helden, one of my favorite animated shows, now on Sci-Fi and Peacock. It's Brian James O'Connell. Brian, welcome to the Who Would Win show.
Ah, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate that. It's a great, great intro. I'd like to let Donald know that I got a lot of love for the city of Philadelphia. I went there every year for a decade for the Philadelphia Improv Festival. I did 3 years of National Forensic League, which is high school debate, and then went to Nationals my senior year. Sir, I'm on your side when it comes to debate and fairness across the board. Don't worry about it.
Well, the legend of Brian precedes you, by the way. A lot of people know how great you are as a director, how great you are as an actor. Your improv speaks for itself. You know, your honesty is unparalleled. Now, for those who don't know, speaking of unparalleled, I am a huge fan of Helden. Please tell our audience why they need to watch Helden right now.
That is very kind of you. Thank you. Helden is part of the TZGZ Saturday Night block on Sci-Fi Channel, but you can also watch it on demand if anywhere you have cable or the Sci-Fi app or NBC Universal. It is a 11 minutes. The Uber apocalypse has happened, and little boy Andrew is the last human being on the planet, and he sits on his couch and watches videotapes, the last videotapes in the world of old, weird, messed up cartoons with his four friends, which is a giant, one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, a cyborg and an alien. And it's if you like Beavis and Butthead or if you like MST3K, you'll love this show. We repurpose old public domain cartoons and live action stuff and redo all the voices. And we have a lot of great guests: Maria Bamford, Matt Lillard, Kevin Heffernan from Broken Lizard, Mo Collins. It's a veritable who's who of comedy delightfulness.
And I would also say this is a cautionary tale. Please, everybody, do not bring about the apocalypse, because the only thing you'll have left to watch are old public domain cartoons. This is not a world I want to live in.
No, it was a great idea at the time to come up with a TV show about people not being able to leave their house and watch stuff. Just binge watch things and then... It happened. Are we forebears? Are we harbingers of doom? Who's to say? Who's to say?
Well, you know, your character of Giantic, you know, what goes through Giantic's mind? Tell us about that character.
Oh, well, Giantic has, he's the philosophical one of the group. He doesn't say much, but when he does, he says of a great import. It's like listening to a thundercloud read you an aphorism. And that makes sense because he's a storm giant, and a lot of what's happening in his personal life is his on-again, off-again estrangement from his wife, played by Mo Collins, Giantic, because, of course, she comes from a long, proud race of cloud giants, and she's sort of marrying beneath her, but the love is there. It's her father who's the problem, you know. So no spoilers or anything, but there's definitely some tension that you're going to want to see in season 3.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, so with that said, it's about that time. Ray, please do us the honors and announce today's matchup.
Representing Marvel Comics, the hero who will not hesitate to put a boot in your it's the American way, U.S. Agent. And representing books, TV, and cinema, the swashbuckler who can look Batman square in the eye and say simply, "You're welcome, Zorro."
Well done, Ray. I was almost like thinking like I was hearing Real American playing, you know, Hulk Hogan's theme song as
Give
you were
time.
Saying that. Give you time. All right, now before we go any further, let's go over the official rules of a Who Would Win match. Rule number one, each debater will make 3 points. Rule number two, the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge of the opponent or time to prepare for the fight. Rule number three, the debater must stay within the confines of the character's personality, and the exact version of that character has to be specifically stated. Ray, you mentioned this at the beginning of the show, but for our listeners and fans, what version of U.S. Agent will you be using tonight?
I've actually changed my mind. I'm going to be using the comic book Marvel Comics 616 version of U.S. Agent. John Walker.
All right, very cool. I think that's a smart choice on your call. So with Zorro, there's a lot of different variations. We had the two films. We had the series from the 50s, right? Exactly, but I'm saying from the past the 2000s, what have you. So it's funny. I actually found one character. I think it's Dynamite Comics had a Zorro series for quite some time. A lot of really cool accomplishments. They stayed true to the character. So that's the version of Zorro I'll be using for today's battle. Now, rule number four, debaters may only use examples of skills, powers, or weapons that are a long-established part of the character's continuity. Feats from non-canon crossovers are allowed, but will be given less weight. Rule number five, the winner of the debate is whomever the judge decides has the best case for defeating their opponent by death, submission, or battlefield removal. Finally, rule number six, the judge is the final arbiter and can disallow or veto any point they feel violates these rules or established logic. Now, feel free to check out the official rules on our website, whowouldwinshow.com. And before we get started, don't forget to visit the official Who Would Win store. Get your official Who Would Win t-shirts, mugs, and merchandise by going to whowouldwinshow.com and clicking on the merch section. Remember to keep an eye out for new shirts all the time, like the Ray is Right shirt, a great seller from our store, or maybe even the hashtag IMF shirt, made popular by yours truly, James Gavsy. Convince your friends of anything at any time, anywhere, by using the intoxicating mind fog, hashtag IMF.
The next chapter in the New York Times best-selling Last Kids on Earth series is here in The Last Comics on Earth, Too Many Villains. If you didn't know, The Last Kids on Earth is a graphic novel series from authors Max Brallier and Joshua Pruitt, where 13-year-old Jack Sullivan survives the zombie apocalypse in what's been called The Walking Dead meets The Simpsons. Yeah, you get it. It's bright, it's fun, and it's got an art style all its own. It's crazy. Now, in The Last Comics on Earth, our band of heroes are hard at work creating their own sequel, which of course is going to be bigger and crazier than anything ever seen before. I mean, we got supervillains, we got monsters, heck, we got a kaiju with a car head and hamburger feet who's named Steve. Yeah, this book has it all, and it carries the important Who Would Win Show stamp of approval. So if you'd like to check out this new book that also has a spin-off Netflix series, might I add, then let's make it happen. Buy your copy of The Last Comics on Earth in stores today. You can also visit lastkidsonearth.com and learn more.
And now, let's get to the tail of the tape for both of our combatants. Ray, please give us the details on U.S. Agent.
U.S. Agent John Walker is both a hero and villain who first appeared as Super Patriot in Marvel Comics in 1986. He took the mantle of Captain America from Steve Rogers in 1987 and then transitioned into U.S. Agent in 1989. He was created by Mark Gruenwald and Paul Neary. John Walker was created to be the antithesis of what Captain America stands for, a patriotic zealot who came from an opposite background and who held opposite beliefs to Steve Rogers. Having been given the superpowers by the mysterious power broker, John Walker challenged and eventually became Captain America through use of his super soldier serum-like abilities, and eventually was not allowed to be Captain America any longer, we will just say. Fun fact, upon getting his superpowers, John Walker wanted to leap right into being a hero, but instead was first sidetracked into a much more noble profession. That's right, first off, Walker became a professional wrestler. The Unlimited Class Wrestling Federation used him and his newly enhanced soldier friends to put on shows in repayment for giving them superpowers. A truer hero for this world I cannot think of. And that is U.S. Agent.
I mean, that's pretty cool. Like, Abe Lincoln was a wrestler, sure, and fighter, was. Right? Now U.S. Agent. I mean, you know, that's interesting.
Who's
that's
next? Interesting. Me?
No. Yeah, well done. Right now, here are the details for Zorro. Created by Johnson McCauley, Zorro first appeared in the 1919 novel The Curse of Capistrano and adapted into the 1920 silent film The Mark of Zorro, which was the originator for the swashbuckling adventures type of stories. From there, Zorro became one of the most famous fictional characters for that time. Zorro, a.k.a. Diego de la Vega, was the son of Alejandro de la Vega, a Spanish magistrate living in California, and Regina de la Vega, a native turned noble from America. After pirates raided his home and killed his mother, he was sent to Spain, where he could be trained to be a caballero, which is a knight and gentleman. During this time, he was trained in many areas, including combat, swordsmanship, knife throwing, navigation, and stealth, amongst many other things. After joining a secret society, he crafted a new identity and donned the iconic black attire, mask, hat, and cape, and called himself El Zorro. When he returned to California, he became a vigilante who fought against the oppressors and tyrants that plagued his land in his ongoing quest to have justice for all. And here's an interesting fact about Zorro. Did you know that Zorro was based on a real person? It's true. Around 1849, Joaquin Murrieta and his partner, Three Finger Jack, it's a real thing, were bandits in Northern California, where with Murrieta having moved north from Mexico to make his fortune. However, after being beaten savagely and robbed by some Americans, he swore vengeance against them, becoming a legendary figure in the West. Many books and films have been made about Murrieta, which is also where the character of Zorro was born. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Brian, do you have any questions before we get started?
No, that's incredible. I'm just going to have to let that like marinate for a moment. All that information that is really, truly fantastic. I'm very, very interested to see where this fight's going to go.
I love it. All right, Ray, this is an out-of-the-box battle if there's ever been one. Go ahead and hit us with your point number one.
Point number one for U.S. Agent John Walker is I want to talk for a little bit about his enhancements as a super soldier. Because, no, he did not get Captain America's super soldier serum. The power broker gave him enhanced physical ability. So he's on par, if not better, than Captain America in basically every single physical way you could be. Let me lay it out for you. His strength is considered class 10 strength in the Marvel Universe. Now, class 10 means that he can safely lift 10 tons. 10 tons. That's like a lot of pounds, I'm guessing. 10 tons he can lift with, you know, if he was powerlifting, he could lift that 10. And not only that, when John Walker fights you, you are going through objects. That's one thing that is so, so true in all these different fights that I broke down involving John Walker in the Marvel Universe, is that he hits you and you fly through a wall. He hits you, you fly into a tree, knocking the tree over, right? He hits you and you make a big divot in the dirt wherever the heck it is you land. Why? Because he's insanely strong. Captain America has a very, very good level of strength. John Walker takes it much closer to a Spider-Man level of strength, which is some sort of superhuman strength as opposed to peak human or low superhuman capabilities. So you don't mess with John Walker in an arm wrestling contest unless you're like the Hulk. You want to talk about speed. He has enhanced speed as well, in that he was able to dodge six men trying to shoot him with guns while sitting around a boardroom table in an office. He was sitting at one end of the table, wanted to get at the guy at the other end of the table. Everybody else sitting at the table was in on it. They all pulled guns while he jumped and flipped and spun around the table, and nobody was able to shoot him. Why? Because he has an enhanced level of agility and speed. He was able to catch and get out of the way of Hawkeye's arrows. Now, Hawkeye, known as an archer who never misses, another great Marvel superhero, one of the Avengers, for gosh sakes, he's able to avoid the arrows. And talk about endurance. He once fought Captain America. Pretty good. He fought Captain America for 30 straight minutes before finally Captain America said, I need to just make this not happen anymore. I can keep going all day, famously as Captain America can do, but I don't want to. This guy can match me endurance for endurance, and I just don't want to be in this fight anymore. I don't think I'm going to win if we see this through to the end. His durability. He was able to take a punch from a character named Wonder Man, who has a very, very high level of strength. You take a shot full on in the noggin, in the nose from Wonder Man, he's going to go through your head, blowing out the back of it. Not U.S. Agent John Walker, who was able to take the punch and keep on fighting afterwards. What this battle really, really pulls down to is the fact that we're dealing with a character who's effectively a super soldier versus Zorro, who's a very, very impressive man. But at the end of the day, he is just a man. He doesn't have superpowers, even though he has some feats that are very, very incredible. Nobody's going to pretend that Zorro can lift 10 tons at the end of the day. And the last thing I want to talk about here is the fact that he's a military veteran, which means he's got all of the training that happened when he was serving in the military, serving our great country, serving the people of America. I just want to make sure we understand how patriotic he is. He loves his country, and he will fight hard for this country. In fact, one time he fought three characters who were just as enhanced as he was. They're super strong, powerful, endurance, speed, all of that. They're known as the Bold Urban Commandos, and all of them were wearing Captain America masks, and they attacked him after he was talking smack about Captain America, and he was able to win a fight against three people on an even playing surface as himself, the Bold Urban Commandos. Zorro's just one man. That's my point number one.
Wow. Okay, a lot to digest with that. I agree with you that U.S. agent John Walker is stronger than Captain America. I need a little bit of clarification, though, Ray, on some of his powers. Now, Captain America, one of his combat attributes is that he can see faster. In other words, everything that comes at him, he perceives it a lot slower so he can react faster to it. That's how he dodges a lot of stuff. He can calculate things very quickly. Does the U.S. agent also have that ability?
I think he does have some sort of an enhanced mental ability. You almost have to if you're going to have some sort of super speed, quite frankly, or you're going to run into stuff a lot. I don't think he's going to be quite at the level of Captain America because Captain America is near the top as far as that type of power goes. But U.S. agent definitely is on the same battlefield with that.
Got it. So he also dodged gunfire close range in a boardroom. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
Got it. Sounds like the Who Would Win boardroom a lot. A lot. Now, here's the next thing. Durability, you're right. I can't question that. He tanks hits from superhuman people he fights. He's a military veteran. But here's the thing, Ray. First of all, can he tank getting cut? Because I do remember the character getting cut and getting cut quite easily, or at least on par with a regular human.
He has some good armor that will stop bullets. I'll get into that a little bit more in my point number two. But we have seen him get cut by Master Swordsman in battles. That is definitely a place where he can be affected.
Got it. Okay, last thing. When U.S. Agent fought the Urban Commandos and got the hashtag win, didn't he pay them to take a dive?
I didn't think you knew about that, James.
Okay, yeah, he did. So here's the deal. U.S. agent's got a lot of impressive wins, but he did pay them to take a dive. That was more of a publicity stunt more than anything. I really don't think that's an actual win or display.
You know, when you're fighting three characters as ridiculously powerful as the Bold Urban Commandos, any kind of a win is impressive.
And this is where the conspiracy starts. All right, all good stuff, Ray. So let me get to my point number one. Let's talk about the Zorro and Batman connection, because this battle is really cool. You have someone who's kind of like a Captain America type character, and Zorro was definitely the influence for Batman. Batman's creator, Bob Kane, actually said that this is a direct connection. Batman's definitely, you know, related to Zorro. There's some similarities. Zorro in his alter ego has this big house with secret paths to a huge underground lair. They also have he has a servant named Bernardo, of all names, who was also the inspiration for Alfred Pennyworth. So there's a lot of similarities there. But also, just like Batman, Zorro dedicated his life to training, like a lot of training. And as a result, Zorro became a master, as I previously said, in a lot of different areas. So for example, he's considered to be one of the greatest fighters of his era. He's a master boxer, wrestler, kickboxer, and he does know submissions. He's a master escapologist. He can escape any restraints, ropes, or even wrestling holds people may put him in. He's a master of stealth, being able to disappear right in front of your eyes in the same way Batman can. And if he can, he'll create a distraction where he'll even disappear more effectively and probably come back and hit you from a position you had no idea he could come from. In terms of strength, he's definitely not superhuman, but he's definitely peak human, at least for his era. He's strong enough to demonstrate some, for lack of a better term, James Gabsy-like strength by holding up a soldier in his hand. You know, he holds the soldier up by the throat and then throws him through a wall quite easily. He was able to kick open a locked metal door, and his usual method of taking out a soldier is hitting them with one short shot. That means his punching power is not just off the charts, but his fighting style is highly efficient and perfected. Because when he's taking on people, it's a lot of opponents at once. It's a short shot. He doesn't have a lot of time to usually take on someone because there's 5,000 other people going to come down on him. He's fast enough to dodge gunfire, and he can take out 5 attackers in seconds with super fast strikes. He's super tough and durable. He's been shot and stabbed, and that barely registered with him because he just had this resolve to keep on going. Again, he's a physical specimen from the 1850s. Look, we all talk about our grandfathers, you know, how tough they are from that World War II generation, even earlier. Well, keep going back, and the level of toughness, in my opinion, goes up dramatically. He's a master strategist and tactician. He comes up with a battle plan on the spot against someone he's never faced before. And by the way, it's not only easy for him, it's something he's been trained to do and has done for years. And if that wasn't enough, his willpower is definitely superhuman. He's proven many times what seems like, you know, hey, I'm going up against the Spanish army or these villains that seem superhuman coming at me against these incredible odds. I'm not giving up. I'm going to get shot. I'm going to get stabbed. Don't care. I got to save the people. I got to stand up for them. That's who I am. Look, when you match up the skill set of Zorro, something he's acquired over years and years of training, against the skill set of John Walker, which, by the way, is still impressive, you still see that when it comes to pure fighting ability and being reactionary and understanding how to use his environment and use everything in his favor, Zorro comes out on top in that area. That's my point number one.
You know, there's not a lot that I can argue about as far as your point number one. You've pretty much laid out the very basics of who Zorro is. He's a very skilled master swordsman. He's a rogue. He's good at stealth, and he'll jump out and stab people, and he does use minimum effort possible to try to get these people out of the way, most often because he is fighting so many people at the same time. I am very impressed with Zorro the character. That being said, Zorro, as I said in my point number one, is just a man. He has not been injected with super soldier serum. The power broker hasn't got to him. He wasn't bitten by a radioactive mask. These are just not things that we have seen happen to Zorro. Meanwhile, John Walker has got this class 10 strength. He's just too fast. He's just too strong. All he has to really do is get a hand on Zorro. And I don't disagree. Zorro can carve a Z into John Walker if he goes ahead and grabs him. But that's about all he's going to get before he gets the life choked out of him by the U.S. agent.
Interesting. So we got very different characters here at very different levels of power. Brian, you've heard points. Point number one from both Ray and myself. Where is your head at so far in this battle?
It is a toughie. You know, there's a certain part where I understand where Ray's coming from, that, Zorro is just a man. He doesn't have the super serum. But at the end of the day, if Zorro can defeat 5 men at once, and John can make it from one end of a business, a table without being shot by something, it's a difference. I do love the idea that, yes, it's not the punch. It's the punch and then the person hitting their head on the ground. So when he punches you, you go through a tree, a wall. It is extra damage. That is extra damage that you are taking. You are definitely rolling a critical. You're rolling a one on that die for sure. Critical failure. But at the same time, it is hard to go against a person who is the inspiration for Batman, who trained as a caballero, which we've seen taken all the way through the Christian Bale Batmans, where it's like, oh, of course, Batman's a ninja. He was a real life ninja, and that's what Zorro was. And then again, it hurts my heart to say this, but part of being an American soldier is realizing that how poorly we treat our veterans. And for this person to be able to push through, the fight isn't always just physical. Sometimes it's emotional and mental. You know what I mean? So it's tough. It's neck and neck. I see the different things, but it's a lot closer than I thought it would be, honestly.
Very cool. Okay, this is interesting. Ray, you're coming with a really direct strategy, which I can appreciate. I'm going to have to play a little bit of a hit and move, but more on that later. Go ahead and hit us with your point number two.
Point number two for U.S. Agent John Walker. Let's talk about some of his equipment and a few of the things that he's done. Now, first off, one of the biggest feats that he's done is there is a very, very powerful character. We've seen him in, I believe, a Guardians of the Galaxy movie, Ronan the Accuser. Now, Ronan the Accuser is a galactic warlord who John Walker was tasked in being part of a crew that would try to take out Ronan the Accuser. And in the middle of the fight, they were taking it together. John Walker was talking to Ronan. He didn't like what he was hearing, and he punched Ronan the gosh darn Accuser in the face and knocked him out. If you can knock out Ronan the Accuser, Galactic Warlord, with one punch, I absolutely have to believe you're more than a match for Zorro, whom I still love, don't get me wrong. But let's talk a little bit about some of the equipment that he walks around with, because one thing that he has is bulletproof armor. Now, we talked about this before. I know Zorro has been known to carry a gun. James, I'm sure you'll talk about this in some of your points later on, or wherever the heck you feel like moving it in, because you'd be crazy not to. but John Walker does wear bulletproof armor. Does it cover absolutely everything? No, but you'd have to be a pretty ridiculous marksman in order to get the hit off that would take down John Walker. His bulletproof armor takes down a lot. He also uses guns. He's not afraid to use guns. He's not as honorable as Captain America. He has no problem killing people that he's in battle with, as long as he feels like he's doing the right thing for America. He's very much an ends justifies the means kind of guy. He also has been known to carry a torch sword, but that was really a lot earlier on in his career. I'm not going to focus on it as much, because the part that I really want to focus on is his shield. Because obviously, being a Captain America type character, he carries a Captain America shield. Now, he's carried all kinds of different shields, and through his different iterations and through his gun. At one point, he threw it in the Hudson River because he didn't want to deal with it anymore. So he's had Captain America's original shield at one point, which is made of vibranium, the toughest surface, you know, ever. So he can block guns, bullets, it can block swords. Just put it this way, Zorro's not going to carve a Z in the Captain America shield. Let's put it that way. He also got a version of the Captain America shield that was apparently taken from Captain America from an alternate universe, which I just thought was so wild, I had to put it on the record just because I thought it was cool. But additionally, he's had remote-controlled shields. He's had shield from Wakanda that was made. Not only does he have this great shield, he knows what to do with it. He knows about, you've seen, perhaps, Captain America doing his training where he's throwing the shield along all the trees and he's banking them off of all the trees and then catching it again. He's been known to throw this shield and throw it, bank it off of something, and hit his opponent in the back of the head with this vibranium shield and then still pick it up and catch it before it hits the ground. That's who John Walker is. He's a dangerous man. He will use guns. He's used, you know, the torch sword, a little truncheon item that he's used before. But the big item is the shield. And when you're talking about dealing with a swordsman, there is perhaps no better thing to have on your side than a shield. Medieval combat taught us that. And that is my point number two.
Okay, so I got a few questions. First one, let's see. What kind of gun or firearms does the U.S. agent walk around with? Like, what does he have on him for this battle?
U.S. agent is known to carry an M9 Beretta, which is a semi-automatic pistol. It's a very standard military piece, so that's exactly what he would be carrying at all times.
Okay, that tracks. Now, for this battle also, you talked about a number of different shields he's got experience with. I absolutely do agree that he's an expert with the shield. Whatever shield he's got on him, he's an expert with. But the question is, for this battle against Zorro, this iteration, what kind of shield are you saying he has?
I would say he either has the Captain America shield or the replica Captain America shield that's pretty much the exact same thing that he ended up with as U.S. agent, or the shield that I'm going to talk about in point number three.
Got it. Okay. So whichever the one serves the battle better.
That's right.
Got it. Okay. This makes sense. Let me talk about my point number two. And you're right, Ray. We got to talk about Zorro's weapons. Mm-hmm. Now, unlike Batman, Zorro relies on his weapons in a very big way. And what I mean by that is Batman's got his utility belt, of course, but a lot of that is used for detective work. Zorro's not really trying to be the detective as much as Batman. That's where the comparison kind of falls apart. But he does rely on his weapons in a very big way, in a very offensive way. So we're all familiar with the big Z that Zorro carves into people's shirts, walls, doors, sometimes on people's chests and heads. That sword is called a rapier. And Zorro is beyond a master of using it. What's interesting about a rapier, by the way, is that it's not a slashing weapon. It's not a, you know, I'm not carving something. It's sharp at the tip. It is a plunging or thrusting weapon. By the way, when you have a slash or a thrust and you say which one does more damage to a person, 9 times out of 10, a thrust into the body, face, throat, whatever that is, into the insidey places, that's going to cause your major damage. That's what Zorro is really, really good at. Of course, Zorro also has a whip. And whips are described, this is really cool, as finesse weapons with reach, which means they can hit someone from a far range in precise areas. For example, Zorro wanted to take out an eye of an opponent from a distance. Using the whip, he did that very easily. Zorro could also use his whip to bind the legs of someone. Imagine John Walker's there. As strong as he is, he can still get his legs tied together at least for a few seconds just using that whip, something Zorro's done quite a bit. Speaking of guns, Zorro also carries a pistol. So on top of everything, he's a master marksman and has been trained to a master level of using it from afar or up close and personal. You know, that means if he needs to shoot, you know, up close to whatever to get into, you know, past the shield, he can do it if he gets that close. And also, you know, if he sees that John Walker's face is exposed with the Captain American helmet, he'll aim for his face, his nose, his mouth, or what have you. He is that kind of guy. Zorro does have weapons, however, that are similar to Batman. So he uses smoke bombs to create distractions. These smoke bombs also cause his opponents to start coughing as they breathe it in. This enables him to evade attacks and strike an opponent from seemingly out of nowhere and also hit them, again, while they're coughing, while they're in a weakened state. Zorro also uses, this is really cool, what are called caltrops. Now, picture sharp-edged metal on either side. So take a strip of metal, like a nail, file it to a sharp point on either side, bend it, do that with two other nails, fuse them together so they form a pyramid. And if you throw them on the ground, by their shape, they're always going to have a pointy side that's up. And this has been used by ninjas and different warriors and by Zorro to throw. He throws them on the ground so people can't chase after them. So he helps them evade attack. But it also hurts people because it goes through soldiers' boots and what have you. So all of a sudden, the soldiers can't walk, can't fight. And Zorro has another advantage over him. By the way, his boots have been put together with whatever that's on the bottom, so they're impervious to the caltrops. By the way, all this does include Zorro's ability to pick up anything and use it as an improvised weapon. That's part of his training. Kind of like Filipino martial arts, where he can pick up a stick, a knife, a chair, anything. Zorro has a number of instances where he's picked up a stick and taken out 3 to 4 people super, super fast. Now, what makes Zorro's weapons important, you know, and factors in this battle, as far as I can tell, number one, it's Zorro's ability, just like Batman, to use all of his weapons in rapid fire in any order, and again, at a mastery level to defeat an opponent. So that means if he has to whip someone first, shoot them, distract them, to get in close enough, use his, you know, his sword to plunge into him, not a problem. Smoke bombs, then a, you know, whatever, a knife, which also he carries on him and can throw it, that's fine too. But here's the real cool part. It's the fact that unlike Batman, Zorro has no problem killing his opponent. This makes this really, really interesting. You know, Batman has that no-kill policy? Yeah, not a thing for Zorro. Again, just, you know, ends justify the means. Zorro has killed quite a few soldiers, quite a few opponents. So in the end, it's Zorro's versatility with his many weapons and his ability to go for that kill. Again, no moral problems there if going for a kill. If he feels it's justified, that's what's going to get him the victory because he's not afraid to go there in a very dubious, sneaky way. That's my point number two.
There is some good stuff happening right there, and I'll tell you why. Because Zorro's advantages come with sticking and moving, like you said, stealth, and he has the smoke bombs to do it. Now, I would say John Walker, having been trained, I believe, originally in the Vietnam War, or just after the Vietnam War, was taught a lot of sort of, you know, detecting camouflage, don't get snuck up on. He's learned a few of those traits. He also has the super fast reflexes that I referred to in my point number one that allowed him to evade Hawkeye's arrows when they were coming at him. So I agree. For Zorro to have a chance in this battle, which he doesn't, but if he was, it would be through stealth and through getting in some shots, but while John Walker can't see him. Because if John Walker gets his hands on him, it's over. My biggest thing about this, from your perspective, though, James, is you keep, and I think correctly, but yet incorrectly, comparing Zorro to Batman. You're trying to plant in our judges. He's too smart for this, James. You're trying to plant in his mind that Zorro equals Batman. You do this all the time. And I will say right now, Zorro ain't no Batman at the end of the day. He's impressive. I like him. He's got some stuff going for him. But against U.S. Agent, he just is going to get overwhelmed. Take that Batman comparison right out your head, Mr. Judge. That's all I got to say about that.
You know, it's interesting to say that. I do agree, because imagine how much more effective Batman would be if he did decide to kill those who deserved it.
Oh, you stop.
I hope it never happens, Ray. I hope it never happens. Luckily, Zorro's already crossed that line, has no problem with it. You know, Brian, we're at the turning point. This is where, you know, you've heard 2 points from Ray. You've heard 2 points from me. Mm-hmm. This is where you, as a judge, tell us who you think is in the lead and what the other side has to do to pull out the victory.
I got to be honest, like I said before, it was very neck and neck. It was closer than I thought it was going to be after the first round. But something popped out to me. Once he brought up the idea that there is a weapon from an alternate universe and that there have been multiple shields that USA Agent has been using, much like the Punisher would train with multiple different weapons underneath different cheesecloths and just use them to have that familiarity. I do very much like the idea of Zorro being, look, everyone knows that I'm a sucker for combination offense. So the idea of being able to shoot, stab, whip, you know, smoke bomb in the variety and the versatility of it. No, I don't think that Zorro is Batman, but I definitely think a Caballero is very close to a ninja, which is a classic power versus speed dynamic. I think the slight edge has to go to Zorro here because of the training and the versatility versus, and this is a very small weakness. Yes, he has bulletproof armor, but a very thin rapier can get in where it needs to be. And just that slight edge that he has of being very familiar with all kinds of different weapons, whereas one shield, but different shields throughout it, that just a milligram off of vibranium can make all the difference when you're working the angles and all that stuff. And that is just the sliver of an opening that someone like Zorro would need to end it and call it a day. I feel like that's where we're at now.
Wow. Okay.
Don't like that at all. Brian, I feel like I should be considerably further ahead than behind right now. Are you sure? Are you sure that you're with me right now? Are you sure that you've been listening to my points as I've been making them?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You have a lot of strong arguments to make, just as, you know, U.S. Agent is very, very strong. But how many times have, how many examples do we need? Do you need to go back to the Brad Pitt, Eric Bana banger that is the movie Troy, where we are first introduced to Achilles? What does he do? He runs up on the strongest, biggest person and ends it like that at the tip of a sword in one swift move. I'm not making this up. There is precedent to be had here, sir.
Wow. Okay. Way to play the judge, Ray. There's no conspiracy happening here. Just good debate. Ray, this is actually very surprising for me. I thought it was going to be my point number three, which was going to be my knockout, hopeful knockout. But I'll take it. But I'm not counting you out, Ray, because you are a very good debater. Go ahead and hit us with what will definitely be an interesting point number three.
Point number three for U.S. Agent. I just want to talk about the total package that he brings to the table and how he's going to just have too much for poor Zorro to handle. Now, first off, he was able to defeat a few very important characters. He beat Hawkeye in a fight, as we've seen before, and that was when they were teammates together. Because if he doesn't like what you're doing, he doesn't care how good you are, he kicks your butt. And he has no problem doing so to Hawkeye. Everybody thought Hawkeye was going to come out ahead in that battle. And U.S. Agent cleaned his clock and basically dragged him out of the ocean and left him on the shore. While everybody else was like, yo, you can't beat up your teammates. He goes, cool, I quit them. Because he likes to join teams and he likes to quit teams. But he's so effective that people like Tony Stark and the U.S. government keep bringing him back to team after team after team. Why? Because he's Captain America without the limits. He's Captain America who's not afraid to get a little dirty and go there. You know, he's not going to be afraid, ooh, am I hurting Zorro? He doesn't care about that. If he feels it's justified, that's all it means. And he will absolutely have what it takes to do the damage he needs. Now, when he eventually left being Captain America, the U.S. government took him in so that they could train him. And they trained him up as hard as could possibly trained up, more than anybody else, any other soldier or even super soldier could really even dream of. And that they trained him with all of the current high-tech stuff that's going on out there in the world. They trained him with the technology of the age, which is going to be a big thing I'll talk about later. But he trained specifically with Avalanche, Pyro, and Blob, three characters from, I believe all three were the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. And he was able to do things like dodge around Pyro's fire and fight a guy like the Blob, who's completely immovable. And when that was done, he trained with Taskmaster. Now, Taskmaster is sort of like when Captain America trains you, you've got the best training in the world. Taskmaster is the same thing, but for bad guys, quote unquote, because Taskmaster taught him how to fight exactly like Captain America does, because Taskmaster can watch somebody and then mimic their actions completely. So he understood Captain America's fighting style. So when you talk about that little millimeter here with the vibranium, I don't think it would be as big of a factor. One, because he's trained so much with whatever shield he's going to have with him at that moment, that's the one he's going to be very, very comfortable with and very, very trained up with. And Taskmaster has taught him to do everything Captain America can do with that shield, except potentially even better and stronger, because he does have a bigger degree of strength behind it. He has worked for a ton of groups. STARS, which is a superhero, like a go-get-the-superhero kind of team, sort of like what the Boys are. He's fought with the West Coast Avengers, Forceworks for Tony Stark. Tony Stark brought him in for a group called Forceworks. He said, I want you to come and join this team, but I also want you to lead this team, right? Scarlet Witch said, we need you to lead this team for a different team. Or was it the same team? It doesn't matter. Scarlet Witch believed in him as well. And when Tony Stark brought him in, he gave him a very special shield that he could use. And it's a laser shield. It's a shield that not only can change shape and it's sort of electrical based, it can shoot energy blasts out of the shield. And Zorro's not ready to deal with energy blasts. You can't parry an energy blast with a rapier. You can't possibly get that out of the way, slap it, and then parry thrust against an energy blast. It's just not something that you can do. And this is the ultimate point I want to make about US Agent. Yes, he's bigger, stronger, faster than Zorro. Yes, he's had some of the greatest training in the entire world. But at the end of the day, Zorro being an older character, about 100 years old, this character, just over 100 years old, Zorro relies on what I would refer to as old tech. He relies on old tech, old pistols, old whips, old swords. U.S. Agent relies on modern technology. He's going to rely on everything the U.S. Army has in the now. And he's going to combine that tech, and some of it provided by Tony Stark, for gosh sakes, with the bigger, stronger, faster. So at the end of the day, Zorro might have his tricks, but a character like U.S. Agent is going to be ready, considering the way he was taught. He knows how to deal with smoke bombs. He knows how to deal with guerrilla warfare. He knows how to deal with hit-and-run techniques. And he's proven time and time again that's not going to be enough to bring him down. And that is my point number three.
This is interesting because if I'm following your logic, Ray, you're kind of saying that all of the great things Zorro has done have been noted in military and you know, fighting history, for lack of a better term. And U.S. Agent John Walker actually benefits from that experience in a weird way.
I think there's a lot to be said for that. Thank you.
That's interesting. Okay, so that's actually not a thing. I was just throwing some stuff out there. Now, with that being said, is Taskmaster, who's a great character, is he still one of your favorites?
I still like Taskmaster a lot. I look forward to him being the main villain in the Black Widow movie when it comes out later this year.
Ditto. Are you still bitter that Taskmaster lost to Midnighter in a previous Who Would Win battle?
Very much so. I'm still not happy about that one.
Okay, that has nothing to do with this battle. I just wanted to find out if you were...
No, bitter. I know who you are, James Gaffsey.
That's fair. Now, this special shield. So, again, you've mentioned a number of shields. This is the shield that Zorro will be facing. Is that correct? The laser shield.
It's really up to our judge to set the parameters, but I figure it's either the Captain America vibranium shield that he wore and carry a lot, or this newest, since we always talk about the newest iteration of the character, James, why not carry the one that shoots energy blasts out of it?
I would recommend using the shield that shoots the laser energy, because he's had that for a while, if I'm not mistaken, or had access to it for a while.
That's right.
That's true. Okay, so, all right, I like to put everything on the table. All right, excellent point number three, Ray. Excellent point. So let me see if I can counter that with my point number three. Let's talk about the feats and victories and mind games and tactics of Zorro. So let's talk about some of the feats first. Zorro doesn't live in a world with nearly the superhuman beings that John Walker lives with. Zorro has, however, had to face and defeat superhuman odds many, many times. He was found himself on a pirate ship with, oddly enough, dozens upon dozens of pirates who wanted to kill him. I know, crazy. And they had him all surrounded, and he put his back to the mast, and he had another person there with him to kind of help, and he actually killed all of the pirates. Again, he loves killing for some reason, or when it's the right time to do it, and he's very good at it. He took out dozens upon dozens of pirates who all stormed him at once, all armed with, you know, pirate-like objects and swords and whatever they use. And of course, Zorro had his, you know, rapier type of sword and killed all of them and got out of there. He's fought and killed very large opponents who were somehow imbued with beyond human level strength. I'm using that term beyond human level because that's the expression used. These large, huge beings that almost look like troll-like ogre creatures who are clearly superhuman in both size and strength. And Zorro's taking them on. Sure, he took some damage fighting them, but he took them on, killed them, stabbed them, took him out, was very vicious with it as well. He's taken on the Spanish army. Ray, the Spanish army, and won pretty much all the time. Now, he's done that using tactics, deception, subterfuge, whatever he needs to make it work, whatever he needs to do to protect the people against the Spanish army, he's in, and he does it quite well. But where Zorro really shines, oddly enough, is when he has to use his psychology for the battle. It's really his version. I don't know. Let's call it something weird. It's his version of the intoxicating mind fog, right? So here's the thing. John Walker likes to talk as a character. This is one of the things I noticed about John Walker when he was first introduced, I think in the 80s, late 80s, when I was a kid. I remember those comic book series really well. He loves to talk about, you know, talk about himself, talk to his opponents. And when he does so, it's usually to further inflict himself onto the person he's fighting. And when he does that, he's very open to someone manipulating his mind in return. So when John Walker and Captain America finally had their matchup against each other back in the late 80s, John Walker lost against Captain America due to one very big reason. See, Captain America made him question his resolve, his actual reasoning and desire to fight. Captain America just said, really, you're doing this? You sure you're on the right side of this? Why are you doing this? He kept hitting them. Even though he was taking punishment from him, he got in close, started talking to John Walker. John Walker lost his nerve and literally took himself out of the fight because he just couldn't take it anymore. His physicality was there, but his psychology, his mind was broken, and that was his first major loss. Now, this plays directly into Zorro's hands. Zorro was trained to be a master manipulator, amongst many other things. He knows how to quickly study a person's reactions, how to understand their psychology, and then, you know, kind of manipulate them, place in a position where they weaken themselves mentally or distract in such a way that Zorro moves in for the kill. He's done this dozens and dozens of times. Whenever he's surrounded, he knows how to talk his way into a position and get people maneuvered there to get out of there or to take him out. So here's how I see this battle going. Listen, Zorro is outmatched physically, no doubt. Technology-wise, sure. And Zorro is going to recognize that the moment he sees a laser shield, he'll be like, I have no idea what the heck's happening. The moment he hits John Walker, not much happens. The moment John Walker hits him and he goes flying, he's going to realize, okay, I got to change my plans. So what he's going to do, and he's done this before, he's going to feign weakness. He's going to let John Walker grab him and get him up close because he knows John Walker is going to start talking. And that's when Zorro will talk back. He'll manipulate John Walker's mind even though he's outmatched physically. And when he does that, which he's done before, that's when he throws down the smoke bombs, causes his opponents to start coughing. And when he can't see him, that's when he starts going, Stefan Thomas, your favorite person in the world, Ray said this, stabby McStabberson all over his body, shoots him in the face, takes him out in close, up close and personal. And if he doesn't kill him, at least damages him horribly so he can't keep on fighting. Look, in the end, it's Zorro's training, versatility, and weaponry, ability to psychologically manipulate a very weak-minded John Walker, and his no hesitancy, his no hesitancy to kill an opponent, kind of his overall philosophy, all that together, that's what's going to get him the win. That's my point number three.
A lot of very interesting stuff. I wasn't expecting you to go with the psychological angle, but I could see why you would be desperate enough in order to do that. Now, look, U.S. Agent has defeated all kinds of different people. He defeated the Ironmonger, which is sort of an Iron Man villain, a guy in a very powerful suit. He was able to beat him by himself. But when you talk about mental manipulation versus U.S. Agent John Walker, he's been able to defeat characters like the Red Skull, Purple Man, and even the power broker who ended up giving him his own powers. So when it comes to fighting people who are trying to be manipulative and people who are trying to get under his skin and force him into a mistake, he's faced those types of characters before. And generally, the only thing that really happens when somebody gets under his skin like that is it only enhances his resolve and enhances his violence and enhances his desire to beat them up real, real bad. So if Zorro tries to come in with the mind games, I personally believe that John Walker will turn it around and get mad and beat the mask off of Zorro. So the way this is actually going to go, I actually agree with James to a certain point. They're going to get into a very standard fight with the shield and the sword, and Zorro's going to try to make his moves, and he's trying to get around, and he's not going to have a lot of success penetrating the defense of U.S. Agent, who's moving a little faster than he's ready to, and is carrying a shield that's taking care of the sword. And as soon as U.S. Agent gets that first shot in on Zorro, he's going to go flying, and he's going to get hit hard, and he's going to realize this is no joke. That's when the smoke bombs are going to come out. That's when he's going to try to go to the stealth and maybe even some of the other tactics. Now, one thing U.S. Agent has often in his disposal is infrared goggles. Oops, did I forget to mention that until just now? Gosh, I'm totally sorry about that. So when it comes to seeing heat signals in the dark, this is part of the technology I was talking about. John Walker's going to be able to find Zorro in the dark. He's going to get a hold of him because he moves very, very fast. And Zorro's going to try to talk his way out of it. But if there's one character who, if he believes what he's doing is right, you're not going to talk out of anything. It's U.S. Agent who's going to pummel Zorro to the point where he can't get up anymore. And he's going to walk away safely for this win in a who would win battle.
Quick question. So he's got these infrared goggles, right?
Mm-hmm.
How long does it take for him to kind of get them out of his utility belt thing and put them on?
I mean, good thing about having super speed, not long.
But it's still something he has to decide to do. So if a smoke bomb goes off, it's going to take him 1, 2, 3 seconds to get them out, put them on. How many times does he get stabbed in 3 seconds? The answer is quite a bit. Brian, you've heard 3 points from Ray. You've heard 3 points from me. Now it's the time. Yeah. It's the moment of truth. This is where you use your wisdom and tell us who you think is going to win. Take us through a journey. Tell us where your mind is and let us know who wins. Is it the U.S. agent or is it Zorro?
Well, I got to start off, first of all, that I did not appreciate at first Ray's. It's one thing to, in your first point, to say that someone uses a shield and use that as a positive sense because it's been used forever and ever since the beginning of combat. And then later on in future points say that somehow Zorro is using old tech, old equipment, old strategies and technology, and somehow is a detriment. And also, you know, I feel like James was very forthcoming early on to say, hey, which one of these shields? And you were like, I don't know, what are these three? And then later on, you went, oh, I'm definitely using the shield that's the most advantageous to me now that I think I'm behind. And it also just happens to be the one with the laser swords. And I think James is very magnanimous in that approach, saying, yes, of course, you know, use the one that, you know, shoots out laser beams. And also, I'm a huge, huge fan of modern Rome. The Rome, anywhere from Gaius Marius through the First Triumvirate, that is my jam. That is not ancient Rome. That is what we call modern Rome. So even then, the idea of shield and sword and phalanx, I'm with Ray on that. But when you talk about someone like Julius Caesar, and you talk about someone like Zorro, who has these ideas about how to do strategy, Caesar also very famously killed a lot of pirates who made the mistake of crossing him in the wrong way. He, you know, he famously said, hey, I don't think you're charging enough for my ransom. Please charge more. And they're like, you are nobody. You're a junior senior, not even 30. You're not even you're a junior senator. He's like, I'm telling you, I'm insulted by how low my ransom is. And oh, by the way, I'm going to come back and crucify all of you. To the point where they took him to his private island, to the pirate's private island. They're like, oh, he's hilarious. He's a jokester. He's tell them the thing about how you're going to crucify all of us. And then he did it. He got the higher ransom. He came back on that. But here's where the turn came for me. And when you're talking about a one-on-one fight, a man-to-man fight, mano a mano, Caesar was very famous for leading his troops at the battle and drawing sword on that, but he never won a duel. And I did not know. And as soon as I heard it, I was like, well, that may be the hump that someone's going to have to get over. Once I heard that the Taskmaster was involved, you talk about training. Talk about training as a Caballero, you're talking about training as a ninja. We've talked all about it tonight. Training as a Roman legionnaire. Once the Taskmaster is involved, because as you guys may or may not know, I am known for my impressions. I am known for being a mimic. I always have been since I was the age of 5. It would stand then if he is able to mimic not only the sword play and the smoke bombs or the anticipation of those things, he would also probably anticipate that after that first punch, Zorro's going to try and talk him in and get close and then have his moment. But that's the point where U.S. agent has already slipped the knife underneath his ribs and said, I knew you were going to do this, and could mean it. I have to say, it's a razor rapier thin margin. I feel the Taskmaster training, teaching someone to mimic anyone you possibly could fight, and that person being Zorro, I think it makes sense that he would also teach him not the physical capabilities, but also the psychological and mental capabilities of his opponent. He would know, U.S. agent would know a step by step what Zorro would try and do to him, manipulative-wise, and anticipate it. And again, that's that thin opening that I said about, you know, the bulletproof armor. This is the bulletproof armor that Zorro has never gone up against before. And it's one of those few places where normally someone like U.S. agent's rage and maybe narcissism or sociopathy would allow him to be bested in a certain way. But since Zorro lacks the moral compass that Batman and Captain America would have, which is what Captain America used on U.S. agent, I feel like, but by the razor-thin margins, U.S. Agent would probably take it from Zorro in a one-on-one hand-to-hand combat.
Unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I apologize. I know. You were looking for the four.
I was looking for the four. I was so looking for the fourth win.
Look, 3 out of 10 gets you into the Hall of Fame in baseball. It's not over yet, James. It's not over.
I plan on winning the next better. 7 in a row. So
yeah, by the way, I'm doing a lot better than 3 out of 10. I'm more of a 8 out of 9.
Oh, fantastic.
Here's the thing. I don't like this decision whatsoever. Just going to be straight up. I can understand where you're coming from, but do you agree that there's a chance that Zorro would survive this loss, escape by the skin of his teeth, figure out a plan that would take him out in a second encounter if he had prior knowledge?
I absolutely believe that the second that knife slipped through the blade and U.S. Agent made his pithy rejoinder, as you are wont to do in a superhero comic book movie type of deal, scenario, reality, I feel very confident that Zorro would slip off or roll over, you know, say into like a waterfall or a canyon of some sort. One of those scenarios where U.S. Agent would look down into a deep gorge of some sort and be like, well, I've taken care of that. And it's like, oh, no. Oh, when it comes to a character like this, you want to see the body and you want to make sure it's buried yourself, because that character will definitely be back. He'll definitely be back.
Right, like you're saying, like either a cliff or a waterfall, or possibly a waterfall off a cliff.
Right,
you really
want
to get technical, but I agree with you 100%. Okay,
I'm saying a Robert Downey Jr. Jared Harris fight in the second Sherlock Holmes movie, and then he just trips over into the waterfall and lives to mimic a couch at a future date.
Wow. Okay. Ray, I got to ask you, you were fantastic today. You debated really, really well. Congratulations on the win. I am ticked I didn't get that fourth in a row. I'm going to be gunning for that real, real hard. Tell the fans, tell the listeners how you're feeling right now.
Well, look, I don't feel joy. I think I'm on the record as expressing that a long time ago. All I've been able to do is prevent personal disappointment for one more week. And at the end of the day, that's the best I can do, James. I feel no joy in dominating you, because let's face facts, this was an absolute domination from pillar to post. This is me hammering you point after point after counterpoint after counterpoint. Our judge, let's face it, probably just trying to be nice to you, probably just trying to worry about your feelings. If I know Brian James O'Connell, he's very concerned about people. Okay, that might not be the case. But my point is, I dominated this battle. I had the better character, I had the better strategy, and I'm the better arguer than you every single day. And I'm just sorry the world had to see James fall, when I know that's what they don't want to see. Ever.
I didn't say any of that. That's weird.
You know, Ray's reaction's a lot like interpretive dance. You know, at first it's kind of interesting. Then it just gets awkward and you want to look at something else. You know, so Brian, you did a great job. This was a tough battle. You. Ray brought it this week in a big way. And the way you broke this battle down was actually fantastic. I love the journey you took us on. And even though I don't agree, I can understand how you got to that decision. So well done. We want you to come back. I think you're fantastic. For your first time doing this, you knocked it out of the park. You hit a home run.
Oh, thank you very much. I very much appreciate that. Like I said, it brought me no joy. It was a razor thin battle, but a razor thin victory. It's the kind of thing, as a huge fan of pro wrestling that I am, it's like, hey man, that's the look of respect and that you should have gotten at the end of this match if you had been going up against a more decent and charitable human being.
That's fair. So Brian, tell mm-hmm. the fans, tell the listeners where they can find you online.
Oh, I'm on all the social medias except for TikTok and that, like, because I'm an old man. You don't want me on there. A person that looks like me shouldn't be on TikTok. But you can find me those places either on my website, itsboc.com, and that has all my social media stuff, which will pretty much everywhere is at B3OC, B the number 3OC, and that covers my Twitter and my Facebook and my Instagram. And just keep in mind, mostly what you're going to see is a lot of pictures of cats. Lots of pictures of cats.
You know, pictures of cats are like Jell-O. There's always room for more. That's just my personal philosophy. All right, so Ray, great job today. Congratulations on your victory. I'm not happy with this. I'm really not. This is the second time
this
season. You're
breaking my heart, James Gaffsey.
You played spoilers. Second time this season where I was so close to four victories, and you took that from me. So I'm going to make that happen this season sooner or later. So,
you know, a cornered animal is at its most dangerous is all I would say to that. Wait a minute. Do you hear that? Do you hear that in the distance? I am a real American. Fight for the rights of every man. And today I fought for the rights of every American against a hated Canadian, James Gaffsey. Zorro, look, I love Zorro. I'm sorry it had to be you. But whoever I was going to come across today was going to fall, quite frankly, because my determination when backed into a corner is the strongest power that I possess. And that's why I can get four in a row, but James just can't. Fight for what's right. Fight for what's right. You can find me on Twitter at Almighty Ray.
Are those actually the lyrics?
I think so.
Close. Okay,
He was close, right? That second,
close.
I was into it too. But no, that last line, that was.
I feel like 21st century Hulk Hogan is definitely less Captain America and more
U.S. agent
John Walker, U.S. yeah. agent. So yeah,
yeah, that's fair. That's where Ray's is these days. All right, so you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in at James Gaffsey. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and to be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and where else you go for your podcasts and videos. And check out the Who Would Win website at www.whowouldwinshow.com to access all of our past podcast episodes. On behalf of myself, Ray Stecanus, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win team, thank you once again for listening to another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.
Sup, everyone. Brian here, host of the TV and Movie Trivia Podcast. It's a trivia-style podcast focusing on TV and movies. Listen in for questions like, what's the name of Michael Scott's screenplay? What do you say to view the Marauder's map? What are Tony Stark's last words to Thanos in Avengers Endgame? And where does Ron Burgundy say he is when he calls the news station sobbing from a phone booth? I've covered The Office, Harry Potter, Marvel, Will Ferrell movies, Lord of the Rings, and more, with even more on the way. So play along to the TV and Movie Trivia Podcast anywhere you get podcasts, and stay tuned for more trivia.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.